grab a seat to the bar and join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tansen, Jess, and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk. Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.13, Magic Fingers, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tansen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Nadir refers to the lowest or worst point of something. When used in astronomy, it is the direct opposite of the zenith.
Chapter 24. Elaine helps Harry to heal and recover at a hotel after the attack. Thomas gives Harry just enough information to guess at who all is involved in the attacks. After losing contact with the Ordo, Harry and Elaine find that Anna Ash has been killed.
Damn it, Lash. I told you to stop doing that.
Who's Lash?
Man, Harry.
But we got a whole page on how being touched by the female hand is the bomb.
I mean, come on. You're not
being touched by
You're
anyone.
Not going to disagree.
Yeah, he says exquisitely feminine.
There's just a difference. Guys, just don't caress your head in the same way. Okay?
She's making Reiki work.
Reiki.
Oh, well.
So Harry is awakened by lovely female fingers.
By a girl.
By the touchy-touchy.
There's a girl in here, and she's touching me.
And it's kind of bad, because he gets all pissed off at Thomas for being like, what do you mean I'd never show up with, like, a girl? Like, what do you mean I can't be? And now he does it to himself. The first thing he assumes is this is his mental. His imaginary friend is giving him a head massage because he doesn't actually know any real women that would touch him.
Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm gonna go eat worms.
Yeah, he manages to pull it off very well, though, because he's like, oh, nothing, just waking up. And Elaine
not really. He literally says, I don't want to talk about it. And she's like, all right.
Okay, yeah, but then he's like, I don't want to just, I'm just waking groggy. But he's just like, but she's like, she just lets it go. She was like, all right, he's not like that. I'm going to come back and question you on that. Like, Elaine actually is
just
like,
I'm going to let you have it. She's
not that invested. She's a bad detective. What do you want to say, okay? Just bad at her job.
She just wants full credit for, like, being touchy-touchy. It's fine.
But it's cute, though. I like how they've made this work, right? Because, again, we've said this before. Like, Harry, don't you have a way to, like, magic away all this shit? And by now you get beat up so much you think you would.
He doesn't, but she do.
But
turns out just calming the fuck down.
Does a lot to start with.
Right.
But well, Harry's never discovered it before.
And the equation here is about 8 hours of healing has been done in about a solid's week worth. Because when he kind of comes, like,
yeah,
he checks himself and goes, oh shit, that should have taken me a full week.
Yeah, the bumps and bruises, so pretty handy. And once again, does Harry learn from this? Does he take it with us? I don't know, not as far as I know.
You have to be raised by fairies to know this one. I won't even try.
I guess, okay, again, he's just, he's like, that's that more delicate
that's
line
too much nuance.
Right, he's like, I got too much clout for that.
I gotta have to learn guitar, unless I can
okay?
beat healing into something.
Yeah,
pretty much, right?
Heal
Just massaging your leg, just like pulp it.
But I did think this was kind of a nice, cute little thing that, again, that merging the magical world and the regular world of like, she's like, right? Like, oh, let's not go overboard. I can't just like, you know, fix anything. But man, for like bruises and sprains, and I can sure heal that shit up a lot faster. And one of these days, maybe I'll make it work for major trauma. But
it's all good.
But yeah, a little bit of massage, a little bit of manipulating the energy, and Bob's your uncle, you're good to go.
Bob's your skull. That one tickled you, huh?
That was cute, but then I had to cut it off because then I got very self-conscious about my laugh.
Come on, we live for it.
We have that wonderful, awkward sexual tension moment where Elaine excuses herself to the bathroom. Ooh. Thank God. Nobody wants to experience this right now.
Oh my God.
What? And ruin your protection from the red vamps?
Harry gets a little bit of the lowdown and kind of is enlightened what happened after the being shot at, the flash of light, and being
shot
in the water.
There were bullets flying and you fell in the water.
Yeah, beyond being, you know, ricocheted in the head.
Yeah. I mean, technically he did get shot in the head. He just didn't die from it. Yeah, so. But they explain
what happened after.
They do.
And they escaped in there in the hotel.
Jessica, she made sure all the women she was hired to protect were safe, and then she went back to Harry, drag Harry's ass out of the water. She didn't just immediately panic and jump in after him. She herded all the little ducklings across.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones who hired her are safe. Not the random woman she just happened to find that Thomas was keeping safe.
Well, one of them was the hot woman she was hired to keep. Point is, she's like, okay, Harry.
What's your point? Your point is stupid. Elaine hasn't done shit.
Harry told me to save the women and children first, and I saved the women and children first.
Save the women and children!
Yes, and then very quickly after this, Thomas is avoiding all the women and children because he's clearly hungry, and the only ones he can eat are all the women they're with.
Have you noticed Jim Butcher has not immediately contacted us to clear up that question from last week?
Blah, blah.
That's
that
aired,
episode's
right?
not out.
It's not out yet? Okay, you're forgiven. It's not out yet. Okay, perfect.
Okay, so the exact line in the book, verbatim.
What do you remember?
So hungry that he didn't trust himself in a room with anyone he considered, well, edible. Which, in our escape party, had been everyone but me and the kids. So something we haven't touched on all novel long.
Where's it getting his energy from?
No.
But no.
So don't interrupt me, okay? I got a lot to say.
All right.
Just fucking put a hand over your mouth.
Oh my God.
Put a hand over your mouth. You're bad for it, both of you.
Because I'm going to have things to respond to your
right,
statement.
But let me get through what I'm saying before you interrupt me, okay? Because you're going to make my point before I make it. You're going to piss me off.
Wait, I need like a whiteboard so I can...
Is there some sort of influence that makes magical single mothers? Or is there some sort of influence in that... all of the magical people that are at risk are women? Is it because they're specifically just targeting women because just in general they're easier targets in this supernatural entity world base, whatever? My question is, why have there been no men at all in this that they need to be protected from, okay? Now I get, okay, fine, they're just focused on the magical woman because they're just easier targets, blah, blah, blah. Even though I think for vampires, obviously it wouldn't fucking matter.
Magical misogynism.
Exactly. That's the thing though, is why is it all just, it's all women and children. I'm like, so like what, you're just leaving the ones like that have husbands alone because they have husbands to protect them? Even their kitchen witch husbands are also going to be just as useless as they are.
What year is this book again?
2008.
Okay, well, it's long
enough
to.
Are we allowed to talk yet?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. First of all, you started off with a question. You can't ask a question and then tell us you don't want us to answer it.
I just wanted you not to interrupt me before I finish my question is all I said, actually. Yes. Stupid.
Oh, rude. You said you had a lot to say, and then you said, like, one thing. Okay.
That counts as swearing.
Kids are allowed to say stupid.
Some kids.
I lost track.
Some
I wasn't paying attention.
Now she's sworn. It's over. Oh, I guess I don't know this episode yet. Okay. First of all, yes, they have sort of been talking about the isolating them and that, yes, the single ones are easier to manipulate and, like, cause up suicide because there's nobody else there to watch.
They were, like, the ones that don't have family, the ones that people aren't going to notice.
No,
but then we
get
to these people that Thomas rescued, and it's like they're, like, a bunch of single moms with a bunch of kids or whatever. And I'm like,
so,
where are these dads or
is he just widening
men?
The net?
So, again, part of it could still be that, again, the single women are ones that are alone and potentially less noticeable because, yeah, they don't have... obviously, husbands on site or maybe other close family. You know, maybe they're like, ew, oh no, you had a kid and you're like disowned from the family. Like, I don't know.
A lot of deadbeat dad wizards. But Harry is.
That is part of it. Like, we have stated before that Thomas and his dad, like, part of why Thomas and his other male siblings were not subjugated the same way as the girls is because race doesn't swing that way.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't interested, and therefore that was the only way he could exert. She just kills him instead, right? So there could be a certain element of that, again, the Scavis and Malvora specifically is... because we will meet future ones that... I mean, even Lara has had some... she's obviously not as interested in women, but she's done them. Obviously, Lara is a little bit more like, whatever.
Flexible.
She'll put the whammy on girls and right? So there's definitely gay and bisexual vampires, just as you say, part of it could be that there's not. But we do get a little bit more of an explanation, and I don't know. I mean, and again, it's the kind of thing, it comes up in a couple chapters.
No, let's come back to it.
Okay.
Unless you're insistent.
No, it's fine. It occurred to me.
But it's interesting. Yes. It's a good point. Remember that you asked that question and why. That if other people are thinking the same things, that yes, we will actually get something of an answer to
just
that.
Just because thus far, you know, we know that there are low-level male practitioners.
Yeah.
But in this book, there aren't.
No. Yeah, so there's a reason they're not the focus.
Fine, yes. Whatever, yes. I suck and I don't know those books at all.
Never read any of it, I don't know. That's okay, because, you know.
I love this series, it's so much lore, I can't fucking remember
anything. Exactly.
It's like we constantly have to quiz ourselves.
I mean, again, we will cut you minor slack on this, because like you say, there was a lot of this book that you have repressed and blocked for... Right, so that's your one get out of jail card. This book,
I don't know what I'm doing next book, but she's not around and I still don't remember. But.
But again, yes, doesn't matter. Thomas will, yeah, technically all the women, but again, children is where, even as an amoral demon spirit, Thomas has lines he won't cross.
Right.
All right, so fight.
Elaine calls to check on the Ordo, and there is no answer.
She arms
herself with her magical belt chain belt.
See, Elaine must be doing well enough, because she can afford, like, the Amber Motel or hotel, and now she's holed up in this other hotel with Harry making him better, and so obviously the girl's got to be... And from what everything I've ever heard, California is, like, super expensive, so if she's been living and, like, maintaining...
Depends on where.
She's got very gold. Well, I don't know. Wasn't she in San Francisco or something? Am I pulling that out, or is that where
she was?
I feel like it was
a different time.
Yeah. It was a week ago.
No, actually, it would have been in around this time, and there was like
the financial crisis of 2008 is happening right now in America in the Dresden Files.
Yes,
everyone's lost everything
in real life. Back at that time.
Yes.
Yeah, it would have been slightly before that, I guess. It would have been around 2000 before. But I actually, yes, encountered a schoolmate who I hadn't seen since, like, you know, 7th grade or something like that. And apparently, yes, she had just moved back from, like, California, LA area or something like that. Because that was part. She's like, you need, like, fucking $1 million to, like, get an apartment down there.
Well,
I was like, damn.
2008, I rented an apartment in Venice Beach just for a, like, I shared the apartment. I didn't actually rent the whole thing. I just rented a room, and it was a little bit larger than that furnace room, and it was $700 a month.
Yeah.
When I came back to Canada,
that seems like
everything else was way more expensive, including the gas.
I was gonna say, that seems like an incredibly cheap price.
Well, I was used to Arizona. I had a 2-bedroom apartment for $350 a month. So Harry, you know, whistles for Thomas to come in, but neglects to actually
such a great
tell
little
him about the ward.
Again, this fun little brotherly love, this beautiful bit.
Just to make a point so that, I should have warned you.
You kicked
Isn't
me down,
it nice
yeah.
to be warned?
And also, little guy, like, you kicked me down the stairs, and now exactly, just love that
Thomas
little bit.
Thomas is really the brunt of physical comedy, this book.
Yeah, he gets it. Oh, you're a demon. You can take it. I was going to say, you know, again, he obviously recovers much quicker than Harry.
The last thing that they just finished saying is how he's avoiding everybody because his inner demon is too hungry.
Yeah.
And you're just going to, like, sap his energy more.
Yeah, you're just going to, poke
just,
him while he's,
just
him while
make
he's
a point.
Down. Like,
but
yeah.
In that specific detail,
we both
came in the house and Thomas crossed his arms and leans against the wall and I went and washed my hands. I'm like, ew, Thomas didn't wash his hands after that?
They're wiping the gunk out of his hair. He didn't have to. We wiped it all off on Harry.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, but yes, just a very cute, fun little, very...
Okay, so Thomas and Harry are basically going back and forth fighting because Thomas promised not to tell anyone else's secrets, so he couldn't come to Harry. Ugh, so annoying.
And we've had this once. Well, we had this with kind of like Lily and Fix. In the last book, where
can't tell you anything, but if you want to guess,
exactly right. Like by the very fact of me not saying anything is how I'm going to answer this question, and kind of we get a little bit of that again. Thomas does the letter of the law, if not the spirit, right? So, yes, he basically lets Harry figure it out that he tried to be obvious about some stuff, and he tried to leave all of this stuff where Harry would eventually find it, and hopefully Harry is smart enough.
By the way, the summary is Gray Cloak, Malvora, Passenger, Madrigal, and Serial Killer, Scavies.
Yeah.
Is the deduction.
Yeah. So, bum, 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 bum. So now we figure out who this person who has crossed him is and why it was such a minor thing because, yeah, it was such an incidental kind of a thing. And then, yeah, Madrigal tried to cash in on it at the time. Unsuccessfully, but again, with everything else that was going on.
So you are magical.
I was magical. You are the Malvora, who are still unnamed. You're still just Grey Cloak.
I am still Grey Cloak.
I was Darby Madrigal. Mm-hmm. But yes, really, Jessica, it was so plain.
It is like an emphasis on how tough it is for Harry to be in this position where he can't just be honest and say, Elaine, you can trust him because he's family. Like, just shut the fuck up.
I don't mind that. He doesn't tell her.
Of course you don't. But yeah.
It still is rough for him, though, because he has to work around
dancing
it.
Around it. Once again, yes, he can't just be like, this is why he's completely trustworthy or whatever. Because even though Hitman Thomas know that their trustworthiness to each other is valid, and when anybody else would be, well, that's even worse. Your brother is a vampire, now you're even less right? So, once again, stacking upon stacking that, yes, I can't be completely, you have to trust me. He saved my bacon a few times, but that's as far as I can go on why he's trustworthy.
So Harry does kind of stop Thomas and basically tells him to go get a Happy Meal. You're really weak. And also call Murphy.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to help these defenseless women and children.
Murphy can help
because
protect
you're probably
going
to eat them.
Yeah, just in case, yes, if things go sideways. So, yeah, somebody else there to help you help yourself. Yeah, exactly.
And I also took it as maybe just to give him a break so he could run out and eat.
Absolutely, is the other side.
Go
is
get a
that,
fix.
Yeah, you need a Snickers. You're not yourself, bud.
Go see Elaine for an hour. Fuck. Justine. I meant to say Justine, but fuck it. Who cares? Fuck you, Elaine.
Your Snickers one. Now I've got Betty White, like...
Fuck you!
Running around as a White Court vampire.
Betty White, hello! It's been there the whole time.
In the name, yeah.
He's another one that's not real.
That took me a second.
I know.
You actually heard the light bulb.
The penny drop.
Yeah, I think it also cracked at the same time.
Except that, yeah, Harry couldn't stand to have his first love and his brother. That would just be another icky.
It'd be a weird thing to introduce.
So awkward.
But still, how Elaine is like, well, we could just beat him up. I'm like, girl, you are so fucking back and forth. Right. We can't beat up my clients, but we can't beat up the people that I'm working with. We can beat up the people you're working with.
She's been so biased against him from the start. She's like, I just don't like this dude.
Which is just all of them are against vampires.
And I was going to say, I get to a point, right? You go back to like her and Ebenezer and you're like, okay, again, like Harry and his ghouls, right? He's like, nobody is ever from this point forward going to convince them that so this is how like Elaine and Ebenezer and the Merlin, right, this is like how they're looking at the vampire, right? They're like, there's nothing redeemable, we don't understand. And Harry just keeps going, no, he's cool, just we've done stuff together, no, we've worked together. You know, and again, yeah, which is why he's so weak. Everybody's like, you're giving us virtually nothing to go on as far as
you're Elaine, you're trying to maintain deniability. Why? To maintain deniability.
So I can deny this.
What the fuck?
But yes, it is funny that, her immediately bruises fade. Like, I don't know, let's just beat up your CI and see what he tells us.
This is my undercover agent in the White Court, and she's like, let's beat him up.
Yeah, exactly, right.
God damn it, Elaine.
They'll heal, especially on this guy. If he needs any help, I'll just do my Reiki on him. And
I mean, eventually, Thomas does agree, and was like, begrudgingly, and he takes off. And Elaine and Harry just decide to go to the Amber Inn, and unfortunately, they're a little
bit
too late.
Why are they suddenly not? Yeah, this was a hard one for me, too. Like, not super surprised. Again, it makes sense that they... But it's not as often, once Harry is introduced, that he loses somebody kind of thing, right? He managed to say Lydia got kidnapped, like, fucking two or three times, and he still fucking managed to save that bitch before anything happened to her. You know, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I have to admit, this one was kind of a hard one on me, too. I was not shocked, mildly surprised, definitely sort of disappointed. that butcher went ahead and offed Anna. But again, it provides that much motivation for everybody. It's a kick in the teeth.
Gotta have skin in the game.
Gotta have skin in the game.
It sucks because I liked Anna, but yeah, it is a bit.
Yeah, and she, like, again, she was a good sort of competent, like, she didn't have all the answers. She wasn't, like, an overblown character. She wasn't, like, above, but again, she just seemed like
a good normal person.
A good normal person who was, like, trying to trying to, yeah, hold her little group of people together and safe.
And kind of scarier that, you know, she knew it was coming, this whole book. And she's just trying to escape it, and then still in the end.
Yeah.
Fuck Elaine, you fucking suck.
Didn't like that part.
It was obviously a suicide.
It obviously wasn't
so dramatic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 25. Harry and Elaine investigate the hotel room and search for Anna's contact list to try to call the members of the Orgo. So Harry's first instinct is to, of course, call the police, but Elaine tells him, no, that's a bad idea, because they don't have, one, the time, because it'll just take them too long, and they also need to look into the people who are still alive that might not be alive for much longer.
Yeah, and it's a fair kind of twist, because Harry's been on the, right, normally it's Murphy being like, we have to call the cops, and Harry's like, we don't have time, they'll hold us down, or they'll not understand, or they won't be able to get right, and now
Harry's
it's the other way.
The perfect foil, okay? If somebody wants to call the cops, he doesn't want to call the cops. If somebody doesn't want to call the cops, he does want to call the cops. If somebody wants to be pro-warden, he's anti-warden. If somebody wants to be anti-warden,
he's pro-warden. Is he a foil or is he a heel?
Harry's just a little bit ODD, right? He's just got that oppositional defiance disorder. It doesn't matter what you want to do, Harry's got to be opposite.
Curse those labels.
He's like, I'm actually like, I'm going to crash out. Who taught you that one? Let me guess.
So the crucial bit that changes Harry's mind is Elaine mentions Mouse. Wait, where the fuck's Mouse? And Harry goes, oh, fuck.
Wait a minute.
Where the hell's my dog? And then this whole exposition on
dude, where's my
why
dog?
Why he's not there.
Yeah, if Mouse was alive and capable, then shit wouldn't have happened. So, oh my God, did they actually kill my dog this time?
But clearly, there's no evidence, my dog is so smart.
He's so rational about it. And he's like, if we're dealing with something that can just vanquish Mouse, then we've already lost. I don't care. Second of all.
Mouse got hit by a van.
If one of my cats were, like, in the same position, I'd just be like, where's my cat?
Okay, my cat lived for 18 years. When she was, like, four, the neighbors came over and they're like, we're so sorry, like, your cat's dead. And mom was like, no, she's just a very lazy cat. And they're like, no, like, we've been, like, throwing, like, sticks, like, near her trying to wake her up. And, like, she's definitely dead. Like, she's, like, she's deep in the bush. Like, we can't get her out.
They were concerned that because they
Ty, yeah.
Mom basically was just like, you know, thanks for the concern, but she's probably just lazy as fuck. And sure enough, the little cat was just lazy as fuck. Didn't care that people were, like, yelling at it and trying to shoot
it
away.
I preferred to say it wasn't just lazy. She was just chill. Yeah. That was her whole point, is that, yeah, this was the same cat that let the 18-month-old, like, pick up her back legs and wheelbarrow her. And because me and her mom were all outside chatting, and when we noticed...
Kind of what Jess keeps trying to do to my cats.
Yeah.
It's called socializing, okay? And it works.
And so her mom sees her, and the little girl happened to be a Mackenzie, and she was like, Mackenzie, no. And so the baby, like, dropped her. And most cats have it, right, would have fucking shot off. And she literally walked, like, three feet over.
No survival instincts.
Flopped. She grew up with Jessica. Jessica literally, like, Stockholm syndrome, that cat. She put it through. I don't know if I can find it anymore. I have a photograph of, like, about a two-year-old Jessica in nothing but a diaper, holding the cat, like, under the arms with the cat, like, hanging down the rest of her body, right? You can see the fine red scratch lines across Jessica's torso. And the cat just hanging there while Jessica does this freaking, like, Elmira.
I'm gonna love you and squeeze you and call you George.
Yes, exactly. And the cat just, what were we talking about last? The cat just broke. She broke his spirit.
Okay, fine.
Had no fight.
You know, it's
whatsoever.
Easier if I just go limp.
It's like, eventually, I will go through all of this, and then eventually she will feed me Doritos.
Yeah, you say all that, but we've never met a person in our entire lives who hasn't said that Ty was the best cat in the world, okay? Everyone says she was an amazing cat, okay?
Ty was pretty fucking cool.
She was.
Ty was a great fucking cat, okay? Because I put her through the ring when she was young.
So Harry tells Elaine that he can track Mouse, but they should probably check the homes first because, you know, the first instinct is...
But you told them to go somewhere public. Listen,
I'm
lady,
scared.
What are you
go
doing
home.
Here? Yeah, yeah. Which is fair.
To me, that just seems so silly, though. Are you close to being low on magic or something? I still think it'd be faster just to track Mouse and go directly to them rather than say, let's just do house calls first. Like, me and Mouse will meet up when we meet up. Whatever.
The phones may or may not work between two wizards, but whatever.
I mean, it is kind of interesting, because he does say, I do like this.
She called earlier and got no answer, and I get maybe she just directly called Anna and no one else, but still, I'm just...
Well, yeah,
just check the dog and be done with it.
They left them holes up. They told them not to leave the hotel room, and she called the hotel room and got no answer, so they went to the hotel room and found a dead person. That'll track
and
so far.
And we have to have...
They weren't supposed to have gone anywhere.
The motivation for them to investigate the body further to nail the coffin home of... How disturbing this is that Anna is
what
dead.
What an apt metaphor to
not even. It was just like, I need a reason to make people feel even sadder that Anna's dead by like inspecting her corpse.
Yeah, we have to rifle through her pockets because it's not in her. But I like the little bit how, for once, Harry has actually planned ahead. Harry has actually learned something. He has now put one of his charms on Mouse's collar.
Oh, so
he can directly...
He's so smart.
Every once in a while, and that'll never happen again, ever. But in this one moment, he has found a good way. Now, something will happen, and this charm will fall off and get me, and he'll never, ever replace it. So good luck in the future, Mouse.
Mouse is responsible.
Is it ever mentioned again?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
I don't think so. Okay. Yeah.
Which is neither here nor there. I don't think he loses him a whole lot. But it's just, just the typical, but once again, like the bare buckle and all the rest of it. Harry's like, aha, I got smart. I put a tracker on my dog so I could track him, just in case. And
what's my novelty this month of magical mayhem?
But I do think it's cute. I like that he used one of his little, like, shield charms to put on his collar. It's like, I don't know if it'll do anything. I don't think he can activate any kind of shield around him. But
there's a small little caveat in here, too, that makes me laugh. And it had been one of the first things that tipped me off to his distinctly superior to canine intellect. Okay, Harry, superior to canines only. He's pretty sure he's proven to be smarter than you on multiple occasions. Superior to canines only intellect.
How many times has he made the whole equation that he's smarter than most people are? People.
Just funny
general.
That in this one instance he's like superior to other dogs. I'm like, yeah, that's it, buddy. Just
he's
to other
real
dogs.
Smart for a dog. Well, especially because the next line is, "What if Mouse had played along?" Like, again, you don't know, especially in a panic situation. That's the other thing is Mouse has, like, already been through so many sketchy scenarios with him that, like, he can keep his head cool in a crisis, right? Most other people's like, oh, yeah, logical thinking you would have done this. But again, like, with Butters and stuff like that, right? Those first few times, most of that book, Butters was just like, boom, and Mouse was like, no, it's okay.
Mouse
come on.
Mouse was born into it. Like, this
well,
is,
yeah, he was rescued from
he was
kidnapping.
Lifted, he was lifted up underneath his arms by Harry and put into spirit magical positions.
Now, I'm sure part of it has to do with the fact that we actually got to know Anna. But yeah, I'm just not really as sad, this comparison to Kim Delaney.
Oh, yeah?
Because, like, I feel like, to me, like, Kim Delaney was so stupid. Like, he basically straight up was like, if you do this, you'll die. And she was like, all right. And then she did it, and then she died.
Yeah, Kim
and
Delaney
Harry's
seems
like,
more confrontational
to me. I failed her. I didn't protect her. I whatever.
I was going to say, I think there was, because we really, other than that one scene, we don't see Kim again until she's dead. So we really get very little interaction on who Kim
is. And when we do see her, she's kind of confrontational in a bit. Like, she's kind of just standoffish.
Well, she doesn't help herself. Yeah, she doesn't help herself. You don't need to know that. Just teach me how to do this really dangerous magic, but you don't need to know why I need to know.
I, yeah, like, I get
it's all
that
theoretical.
Too.
Like,
and yeah, I'm sure it is. I also feel that partly it is like, oh, she deserves it. And maybe there's some level of responsibility that Harry should have as a more powerful wizard to just, as soon as you hear about it, you know, hear something, say something. Don't just send them off on their own.
Again,
don't do
often,
it, like,
yeah, we feel irrational guilt for things.
Right, but
of, like,
I still feel,
have.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the reference to Kim Delaney. I'm like, I feel like you could have found another example that's more fitting than Kim Delaney.
I feel like part of that, too, is also the knowledge now that we know that she was not held in the highest regard by Jim Butcher, so we're also kind of like Kim deserved
that
it.
That has nothing to do with it. I don't think that colors ever at all.
I mean, at least it's a little bit of a, like a nice.
That's just a funny fact. It has nothing to do with the story or anything in my brain at all about bias or anything.
Okay,
I think it's just, you know, Anna. I'm actually sad to lose, but also because, you know, to me it didn't seem like, you know, Anna didn't stay with the group. She did go away. She's kind of stupid for that, but
she's level headed.
In later chapters, you kind of get like a better excuse for why she wasn't with the group.
Still not really a good excuse,
but still.
Well, but again, when you're being manipulated and she wasn't following her own contextually, it made sense. It made
more sense than, yeah, Kim Delaney, who was, you know, just stubborn, too big for her britches. Yeah, exactly, you know? Which is, like, I mean, it really, you know, all the stubbornness from all of them in to certain degrees. I think it does,
because we only get that tiny bit, so we tend to think of, but I mean, in all fairness, when she's introduced, Harry does say she is a sometimes apprentice.
Yeah, so he had a relationship with her, so he's sad about it.
She had more of a relationship than we ever saw with it. Yeah, she was there and then gone before, right? So, but you're right, sometimes, yeah.
This one definitely has more skin in the game.
Uh-huh. I would just, like, even, I don't know, like Susan at the party, like, Susan broke into that party. Mm-hmm. So she kind of had it coming to her, too, but I would still be like, that's still a better example.
Oh, so I'm sorry, Jessica. You're saying if she'd just been wearing a short skirt, she had it coming? You deserve to get bit by Bambi.
She had it coming.
But yes, no, I know. Yes, you're right. She knew the consequences, knew the thing. Not that she...
Well, no.
She was an asshole all along.
Susan didn't know the consequences, but she still did break into a party. Well, so, like, that's all I'm saying. Yes. I was like, she's... Yeah.
Harry tried
to... You're right. You should not turn women into vampires, even if they let themselves into your house, admittedly. But at the same time, you know, if the three bears eat Goldilocks, you know, I kind of get it.
Yes. Yeah, it's not the same comparison at all.
I don't technically believe in capital punishment, but at the same time, I mean, you know...
Bears gutty.
But yeah, still, it's just any of these examples. Even go back to the Tate family. Like, I let multiple siblings and parents die before I saved a couple of them. I don't know, just... Because Elaine's all upset that she's failed her clients. It was a graphic novel.
The Ghoul Goblin?
Ghoul, yeah.
And she tries to redeem herself at the end by being like, I'm going to be the one to kill the scabies so I can finish my job in her honor.
Which is, again, still, I'm just like, but you're useless. So, like, okay, good luck.
She's useless, but I do. If all of that, you talking about Kim Delaney was just because you think Elaine is too... No, I think I get that. I think for sure.
Elaine is upset, is all I'm saying. Elaine's very upset because she failed her client and let her client die, and that's a failure. So Harry could, you know, reflect on a lot of failures. He's had a lot of failures.
Yeah.
Kim Delaney wouldn't be my, you know, go-to one.
Okay, I thought you were saying that Elaine, I don't understand why she's upset or something.
I get why
Harry's,
upset.
Harry's failures, what would you have used instead?
Oh, Susan.
Oh, yeah.
And
maybe that he's just a little too sore for that one still.
Maybe, but
and she's still alive, so.
I guess so, but I don't
technically,
know.
Technically,
just...
but...
I, you know, werewolves died in Full Moon before, like, he didn't, before the ones he didn't get to know the name of.
I guess our pool of dead people is not quite as...
Yeah, I don't know.
Our dead pool
is still relatively small.
I don't exactly know. I just feel
there potentially are others that I would have... I mean, again, just the people that we feel more...
Attached
connected
to
yeah, yes, through
whatever,
this,
yeah.
through the books.
We do actually have a few callbacks to other novels, so maybe it's just honestly a tie-in to some previous work is all it was meant to be.
You guys remember Full Moon? 7 books ago?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, coming up, we get a tie-in to the very first book. This is a tie-in to the second book.
Second book, yeah.
Maybe that is. Maybe it is. It's just like, remember that trilogy I wrote that everyone skips over to get into my series?
This is how it affects me, because I'm moving up.
Yes. All right, whatever. And Ash is dead.
Yeah.
Chapter 26. Elaine and Harry find Abby, Priscilla, and Mouse. Harry lets them know that Olivia is safe, but Anna has been killed. The two women realize that Helen leaving suspiciously may actually be more nefarious.
Real quick about this chapter, Harry, and a few chapters ago, chapter 23, too. He's really, Jim Butcher, I mean, not Harry, sorry, is getting into the whole not just ending chapters, just putting a break in the chapter instead. There's been a couple of times where I'm like, hey, you would normally stop a chapter here, Butcher, and you continued. I'm so proud of you.
The flashback really should have just been one.
Which is weird to me that it isn't, but yes.
I can kind of see why he put it a break there, because it is a total tone shift between the two. It is still the same flashback, but like, the first one's a little happy-go-lucky, and then the other one is just, like, dark.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. I see what you're saying, though. Like, definitely, like, there's a few times it's like, why are we cutting hair?
Yeah, you're still going. Oh, my gosh. Crazy. And then he does a tracking spell to go find Mouse. Okay, thank you.
Ultimately, your original instinct was correct.
Oh, my gosh. It's Abby's apartment.
There's a few things that I kind of enjoyed about that whole thing. We've got a lot of detective jokes. It's kind of like Butcher's still kind of trying to remind us that Harry is, in fact, a private investigator almost. You gotta be more hard-boiled about that.
I like that just wizards are just dripping.
He's an excellent
They're
dick.
They're all dripped out.
Sorry, I'm the wrong generation. Yes. I'm the wrong generation. What? What's the drip? Isn't that what they wear?
Jewelry, yeah. They're all decked out.
Well, speaking of, Elaine's I think that Elaine has thematic things with, like, copper. Like, a lot of, so her chain, her main chain, and then her version of, like, all these copper things on her arm.
Silver, just why isn't her skin tone.
Why isn't her pentacle also copper? Because I think hers is silver.
They're just also,
maybe it's just more common.
Like, yeah. Miss Matchy, come on. I would have liked that a little bit more if her pentacle was
This
copper.
Is an endearing her then career,
it,
okay?
Then
who
it
cares?
Wouldn't be nearly as copy. It would, you know?
Yeah.
Regardless, her drip is inconsistent. There's got to be an ointment
for
that.
Yeah, matching medals. So embarrassing when people don't wear matching medals.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone like that.
Never, ever. No, none of us do.
How many of us are wearing sweatpants?
Sweet.
What? I'm not in sweats.
That has an elastic end. It's sweats.
What? These are work
those
pants.
Those are technically not, yeah.
Yeah, these are like...
Those are like joggers instead.
And I'm in leggings, technically not.
Yeah, okay. Athletic
Slouchy,
wear.
Slouchy, comfy
How
clothes.
Many of us are not in athletic wear?
All right. All of these could be construed as athletic wear.
Point.
But yes, she gets all decked out in her magical gear, just like Harry often gets all decked out in his...
Gets decked out...
Yeah, that too.
That too, yeah.
It's coming. Stay in this business long enough, Elaine. You'll get decked out every case you work on, too.
We get another example of how Harry is leveled up fitness-wise because they have to hoof up 9 flights.
They don't have to. They just choose not to.
But
now,
it does make
now
sense.
Now they're all amped up and emotional. And, yeah.
And we're fueling our shields.
Yeah.
Let's get into something electrical. No.
No.
Also, we both have to build up a lot of kinetic energy if we're going to fight anything, so.
That's right. We got to recharge all our doodads, yeah. So.
I think this is, like, kind of like a little bit of a wonderful, like, anticipation moment. And then it's like the Abby goes, oh, thank God you're here before they even have a chance to do anything. And I'm like, okay, wah, wah.
You're early. What?
We're expecting a fight, and we get the woman with the Toto dog.
She's got to be the best person to hang out with because she's never waiting on anyone. She gets there like right when they
she's
get there.
She's gotta be so chill done, because of that. In some ways, just like that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I need to be late, so am I.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was coming.
I knew you were gonna sleep in an hour, so I slept in an hour. Whatever.
Fine. But yes, thankfully Mouse is there and all in one piece. Nobody's hurt. That's great. Now, why the fuck are you all here in one piece? Why aren't you where we left you and protecting the other person that was in your group?
Goddamn motherfuckers.
Goddamn.
Yeah, Harry does unfortunately have to explain to Abby and Priscilla that Olivia, yes, is safe, but...
Anna is not.
Anna is not. And then the guy that was in the pictures is actually helping them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my friend. Don't worry about him.
But also, why'd you fuck up? Like, what the fuck? Oh, yeah. No!
But I just like as he's describing the apartment, and he gets to what looked something like a shrine dedicated to ancestor worship, only in reverse, where the saints are all children with round cheeks and blubbering. Like, oh, she's such a grandma with all the grandkids.
It so makes sense for how her character is described.
It is.
Like,
it's
everything
just
about
so
her
cute.
Is
it's
just like,
it's kind of like a shrine.
You just want to give her a hug.
Oh, yeah, you just love Abby. She is just that perfect little butt. But yeah, I just like that. It was really cute. Just such a very Dresden way to be like, oh, what is this thing with kids everywhere? And why did you all leave? Knew it.
You were right.
Okay, I've never been annoyed about this before. Again, doing this, rereading the same chapters over and over and over again. But Harry's flip-flopping about Helen is starting to annoy me. He's just like, it's like literally like Perry the Platypus. Like, like I knew it was you and she takes the mustache
off.
It's
the hat.
Never mind.
I'm not sure he's entirely flip-flopping. Like, he's just getting a lot of obstacles that are, like, which are people saying, oh, but what about this? And he's like, it's her! And then,
exactly
and then they go,
my
but,
point,
but
though, is like,
this isn't valid. And he goes, oh, fuck.
Exactly.
Oh, no, it's her!
That's why it seems like Perry the Platypus. It's like the hat is on. He's like, I knew it was you. And the hat comes off. He's like, wait a second, you're innocent. And then the hat goes on. He's like, I knew it was you. And then the hat comes off. He's like, wait a second, you're innocent. Like,
I mean, dude. he doesn't necessarily 100%
think she's innocent. He's just waiting for anyone to accuse her. So that's
not even true, because like he like takes her totally well, square value when he confronts her and tries to say, you're a criminal. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, I think a little bit where Jessica is exactly is he was all, I'm sure she's still a bad guy because she was a bad, she tried to kill me before. I mean, okay, let's say she's a bad guy.
Yeah, to be fair, and then a good reason to be
everybody,
biased.
But then, yeah, everybody was like, excuse me, that's our friend. She hasn't done anything.
Technically, and all she didn't do the actions, so she's not,
she did shoot at him.
Yeah, she's the one that shot him in Stormfront.
No. I mean, current. Like, she's not actually actively slaughtering anybody. So, yes, she's kind of innocent, but that's
the problem. That's
she's working with the slaughterer.
That's the thing, though, is that, yeah, Dresden is so convinced that she must be. And everybody's like, no. But, yeah, I think, like, what you're saying is when everybody, he's like, oh, no, I made the monster cry again. I feel bad kind of a thing. And let's drop instead of actively, if you're so sure, why have you not been actively proving it?
You should be stalking her and...
Yeah, it's like you, but you're like, it's her, and everybody went, hey,
but
that's
be
our
10 chapters shorter.
Yeah, right. And yeah, but all the order was like, hey, don't pick on our friend Helen. And he just goes, oh, okay, fine.
That's seriously
and exactly
long game.
Doesn't do anything. I'm like, but now again, he's like, aha, I knew, well, if you knew it, why didn't you prove it was her?
Why'd you let her kill more people?
Why did you let her kill more people? Exactly. You backed off because everybody said, but now you're claiming that they didn't change your mind. So yeah,
I guess you have a lot to do, but maybe you should leave the fucking private detective who's supposed to be fucking protecting them with him then.
Yeah, so I kind of get where you're coming from there, that exactly, right. It's like, yes, when you stop and look at it for the 10th time, you're like, hey, wait a minute. You could have done something about this then, Harry. But so you actively chose to just let everybody else talk you out of your sure idea and be like, yeah, this is not the time to play those stakes.
This concludes our episode 18.13, Magic Fingers. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellys.ca. There we have links to other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Come to buy it at your own risk.